You're listening to the MLB.com Hot Stove Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the MLB.com Hot Stove Podcast on this Thursday, January the 14th of 2016. That takes some getting used to. Matt Wehmeyer alongside Jeff Nelson, otherwise known as two guys that did not win the Powerball jackpot last night, among many others. Did you buy a ticket, Nelly?
I don't. Absolutely. Everybody does.
I even bought.
You have to.
My wife bought a couple.
I know.
I'm not big into that. How many did you buy?
I think maybe $20 worth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you come close?
No, I came close the last time, on, what was it, Saturday.
When it was only $1 million?
I had three or four, four numbers, so that was, I think I won $7.
Okay, yeah. That's seven more than I won.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think the winners were California, Tennessee, Florida.
Florida.
Not New York.
No.
Not New Jersey. So instead of sipping margaritas on the Cayman Islands, we are here in lovely Chelsea, New York, talking about the latest hot stove activity in what has been a very busy offseason. And Nelly, I want to draw from your experience a little bit before we get to some of the second tier and even third tier pitchers on the market right now. Of course, these are guys that are still looking for homes here in mid-January, and this experience not unfamiliar to you, as for 3 years in a row, 2004, 2005, and 2006, you had this situation where you were looking for a home in free agency. And I know that, you know, come this time of year, you kind of look at the calendar and say, well, yes, it's the middle of winter, but spring training, a little over a month away, you start to get a little uncertain about your future. What was that experience like for you when you go into January and you're still not signed to a team?
It's not fun. You know, I think if you hear players, they talk about, oh, you know what, I'm patient, I can wait, and I know something's going to happen. But once after Christmas, I mean, that's when you really start working out. That's when the guys start throwing. And you always want to know where you want to go. Okay, where am I going to spring training? Who am I going to pitch for? So, you know, most players, and I think they were like me, I was a very impatient person as far as wanting to know who I'm playing for and where am I going. Those years that I had to wait, I wasn't signing a long-term deal. I was more in like, at the age of my late 30s that, you know, I was going to play 1 year somewhere. You look, I was with the Mariners. I signed late. In 05, 06, the next year after that, I signed with the Cardinals to go to spring training there. And in 04, I signed with Texas. But, you know, it's a little bit different because they didn't have a compensation pick back then. And I did have an idea, okay, here are the teams that are interested in you. Let's spend a couple weeks or 10 days, see if we can find somewhere else or a better deal or more money. So I knew kind of where I was going to go. But still, it's tough because you're going through the winter thinking, okay, I want to try to sign before Christmas. You look at some of these big free agents like Cespedes or Upton. You look like at Chris Davis. You know, the rumor he had the $150 million contract out there with the Orioles. Those guys are looking for 5, 6, 7, 8 year deals. And now all of a sudden you're looking at the middle of January. Teams love it. You know, the teams absolutely love it because the longer they wait, sure, and the longer these guys don't stay signed, you know, it's okay, I can get these guys for cheap. Maybe I might have to spend a little bit more money on a one-year deal or a two-year deal, but I can go out after some of these guys. More teams wind up jumping in on Cespedes, Upton, or Davis, or, you know, there's not a lot of starting pitchers out there, and there's a few, but there's a few with picks like Gallardo and Kennedy. Those guys might, some of them might wind up waiting way past spring training. I think, Prince Fielder was a guy that wound up getting a long-term deal, one of the few, late. It was probably, end of January, mm-hmm, beginning of February, maybe a couple days before spring training. So he's in the minority. That doesn't happen very often. But, you know, as a player, you always want to know where you're going. I know there's rumors out there. These guys trust their agents. The agents will say, be patient. We'll figure something out. But it's a tough time of year, especially when it starts inching about a month away from spring training, especially for pitchers and catchers.
And like you said, if you're a naturally impatient person,
oh yeah,
and here it is,
it drives you crazy.
It has to.
It does.
It has to. Now, is it a matter of, like, you know, before the calendar turns to the new year, is it a matter of waiting for teams to approach you and your agent, and then after the new year comes and goes and you're still unsigned, does that situation reverse where you're the one reaching out to teams now?
Well, for some of these guys, if Gallardo has probably had some interest, even though there's a pick, you know, teams are going to be reluctant to give up that first rounder or that compensation pick. You look at like Doug Fister, you know, here's a guy that I would like to see, or I would have and throw a flyer out there and say, you know what, I'll sign you a 1 year deal, you know, and let you come back. This guy has results, has done a great job in the big leagues. Last year in 2015, a little rough year. But, you know, coming back, you sign him to 1 year deal. Cliff Lee, another guy. Here's a guy, if he's healthy, this guy's going to be an impact pitcher for you. So you kind of, giving a flyer to him. But it's frustrating because most of these guys already know. They've had rumored of teams that are interested in them. And so they have an idea, okay, you know, the money's not there that I wanted, especially some of the outfielders or hitters. Ian Desmond, another one. You don't see a lot about him. He had a rough year in 2015, but he's done that. He's got a resume. You know, some team's going to wind up taking a flyer on this guy. People could use a good power bat, the shortstop or second base role. But, you know, the guys that don't have a clue that there's not been a lot of interest because of that pick or because they've been injured, you know, you look at Masterson or Loesch, probably not a lot out there. Then you wind up contacting the teams, and you'll see some of these guys wind up signing a minor league deal, going to spring training because there's not a 40-man spot left, and then maybe at the end of spring training they either have an opt-out where they're able to go to another team, or they'll be able to be put on the roster at the end of spring training.
I know a lot of these guys, none of these guys want to become, quote-unquote, another Steven Drew or a Kendrys Morales from a couple of years ago. These guys went unsigned the entire offseason. Drew was eventually brought back by the Red Sox midseason, but neither him nor Morales, when they did find new homes, you could tell that by not having spring training, it basically cost them an entire year, and I think that's got to factor into it too.
It does, and especially, you know, you looked at what it did for the hitters. You know, they didn't have great years when they came back in, June? The pitchers probably could be even more of a problem because you would like to see these guys get innings. That's the whole idea about spring training. That's why spring training is an extra 2 weeks longer for pitchers because they have to build up, especially starters, have to build up their arm strength, build up their pitch count. So by the time they break camp, they're throwing about 100 and 110 pitches, and they're ready to go. You don't want a guy all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to throw you in a starting rotation. You're one of the starters, and you're going to throw three or four innings, and then I got to go to my bullpen right away. So most of these guys, you look at Burley, you know, he's up in the air whether he's going to retire or not. But some of them, you don't want to wait that long. But, you know, I think that in some ways that's where the pick has really hurt him. Once you, take that salary and they have to have a compensation pick tagged to their name if you sign them or another team signs them, you know, some of those guys it winds up hurting, and we're going to see a few of these not signed until spring training or even maybe later, and we're talking May, June.
One last question about your personal experience. As we said at the top, you went through this 3 years in a row in 04, 05, and 06. Because you went through it 3 years in a row, did it become easier or harder?
Well, it's always harder once you get later in your career and you still want to play, you still feel you have something to offer to a team and nothing's out there. Like I said, there's been times, those times I knew, that there were some teams interested. I knew the Rangers were interested. Maybe I wanted to go somewhere else, and I left them hanging a little bit. In 05, the Mets were interested. I didn't really want to sign with the Mets at the time. I wanted to come back. I lived in Seattle. I wanted to play with the Mariners. And then 06, I said, you know what, I still have one more year left. I would love to find a place to play. I even went to the winter meetings for the first time, letting teams know, hey, I'm still interested. I think I was 39 years old at the time. So then you wind up signing a little later. But it is frustrating because everybody would love to sign before Christmas. You go and you spend the holidays knowing a team, okay, once January 1st or once the new year hits, then I start throwing. Guys start throwing off the mound maybe by the end of January, and you're getting ready for your team. Maybe you talk to some of your teammates that you're going to wind up going to spring training with. But the guys that don't know, that's the frustrating part. It's the most impatient part. You're constantly calling your agent. Have you heard anything? What are we going to do? What's the money? Hey, I want to play. I need to know where I'm going to go. And now things that have changed, in the league as far as the rules, the compensation pick, it becomes a little tougher. And I think players become more impatient because they don't know where they're going to go yet.
You brought up something interesting when you said, you would go to the winter meetings and approach teams and say, hey, I've still got something in the tank. I still want to play one more year. Maybe it was a case where teams weren't aware what your status was. I got to think there's something similar going on here with Mark Burley, because everybody said at the end of the regular season, he was left off the postseason roster for the Blue Jays and that, Burley's going to retire. It's his last go around. He still is not formally retired. Do you think he's having second thoughts? Is he going to be in a uniform next year?
Well, I think he can definitely do it. You know, I think last year when the Blue Jays left him off the roster, there was probably some injury problems. This guy won 15 games and pitched to an under 4 ERA last year for the Blue Jays. So, and here's a guy that can give you still, I think, over 200 innings or pretty close to 200 innings. Very hard to find. You know, you look at the list of pitchers that are still out there. He might be the only guy that can actually get close to 200 innings or pitch over 200 innings at his age. You know, if he still has stuff left in the tank, you know, why not? You know, I know he's pitched a long time. He's been there. He's done that. You know, my feeling, you know, I had to retire because of an injury. You know, guys that don't retire from an injury, the ones who did, they're saying, you know what, I would still be playing if I didn't have to, if I got hurt and I couldn't do it anymore. You're still able to do that. So he still has a lot left to offer a team. You know, he's a veteran guy, a good veteran presence. I played with him with the White, you know, on my team with the White Sox, a great guy, a great mentor to any young pitcher. So I still think that there's a chance that he could come back and he could impact the rotation.
Yeah, he sure could. But do you think it's a matter where, you know, maybe at one point Burley had his mindset to say, you know what, I've done this long enough. This is it. It's over. I'm not coming back. And then maybe a week or two passes and his agent says, hey, Mark, put the brakes on those retirement plans. I've got a list of 15 teams that want you. Does that, how often does that happen with guys who are contemplating retirement?
Well, it does. You know, for instance, Andy Pettit, when he retired, he went to spring training with the Yankees to help out, and he got the itch. You know, he felt like, oh, no, I almost want to come back, and he had to leave. He couldn't stay in spring training any longer to help out. He says, I got to go because, you know, he was so set on after the season, I'm done. Mark Burley probably felt the same way. Now's the time, like I mentioned earlier, January 1st, right after the new year, you're ready to go. You know, you're starting to throw. You're playing long toss. You're workouts start to get more intense, and you're getting ready for spring training. And Mark Burley's been doing this forever, and he knows his routine throughout. Spring training's right around the corner, and all of a sudden, you know, February 15th, 16th, whenever teams start reporting and their pitchers start reporting, and he's not going, he's like, wow, you know, this is a little bit different. You know, I played for so long, I'm used to leaving right now, going to spring training. I still think he has, you know, stuff left in the tank that he could offer a team. Right now, it's a tough decision because now you're getting into that routine that spring training he's so used to. It's tough to step back.
It really is. And, you know, with the exception of Burley, you've run down some of the other names on the pitching market right now. You mentioned Doug Fister, Yovani Gallardo, Jeremy Guthrie's in there too. We've talked about Ian Kennedy, Cliff Lee, Tim Lincecum as well, two-time Cy Young winner. You don't find those every day on the open market. It's coming off his surgery. And you mentioned guys like Kyle Loesch, Masterson, and Alfredo Simon as well. With all things being equal and not considering the compensation picks and potential salaries, just looking in terms of pure talent, of this list, who do you think it could be the biggest steal or the biggest gem on this list?
Well, two of them I'm going to have to pick. I'm going to have to pick Cliff Lee because if he's healthy, here's a number one, number two on a team. And you just need 15, 16 teams. You look at all the contending teams could use someone in that rotation like a Cliff Lee. The White Sox, the Orioles, the Angels, the Mariners, Blue Jays, Pirates. You can go on. The Cubs still looking for a rotational help. And I like Doug Fister. You know, I think here's a ground ball guy, a good sinker. He had great success with the Nationals year before, not in 2015, you know, took a step back. But he was great with the Tigers. And then he goes to the Nationals, was good there. I think here's two guys, Cliff Lee and Fister, probably wind up signing a one-year deal. You know, I can't see either one of these signing a multi-year deal. Cliff Lee may even be brought to spring training by a team on a minor league contract just to make sure he's healthy. Or if he doesn't want to do that, like a Lincecum, they may wind up going and skipping spring training, still throwing, and by the end of spring, maybe in the beginning of April, wind up throwing for teams and not be ready until May or June. But I like Lee and Fister. You know, those two guys, out of all these guys, I think can be an impact and a good steal for any one of these teams.
At the other end of the spectrum of the same guys on this list, for my money, I think the guy who's got to be the most nervous right now, considering the draft pick compensation, it's got to be Ian Kennedy.
Right.
I think people were shocked when he turned down the qualifying offer of whatever it is now,
$15 million
from the Padres. I would think he's sweating some pretty big bullets right now. Do you
agree? Well, absolutely, because nobody's going to – I don't think anyone's going to go and try to sign him to give up a first-rounder or a compensation pick. And absolutely, you're talking about $15 million, and I don't know who his agent is. I think he gave him some bad information or bad direction. Here's a person that's going to wind up, you know – I'd be very surprised if a team signs him, you know, unless he goes back to the original team with his, what is the Padres. So I wouldn't be surprised if this guy doesn't last until June, if he doesn't find a team until June, once that compensation pick gets, you know, is done. You know, that's tough. That's why, you know, maybe they readdress this, the next bargaining agreement, basic agreement. Okay, do we look at this and say, hey, this is hurting some of the players? I think it is hurting some of the players. It's definitely hurting Ian Kennedy.
Yeah, it's a big-time game of chess, and both Kennedy and Giovanni Gallardo have the draft pick compensation attached to them. My gut says Gallardo is going to find a home, but Kennedy, I just don't know. There was a lot of raised eyebrows and shock around baseball when he turned down the $15 million offer from the Padres. We'll see how the market fixes itself in the next few weeks with regards to those guys. And Nelly, on the offensive side of things, you know, we hear the discussion every day about Yoenis Cespedes and Justin Upton. These guys have great track records. Cespedes in particular, a monster 2015. In your estimation, the biggest reason why they remain unsigned is what?
Well, for Cespedes, I think they looked at, you know, he's been with multiple teams in a short amount of time, and he's been traded a number of times, so that's a red flag for me. You know, why doesn't he stick with the team? Is he bad in the clubhouse? Does he not work? What's his work ethic like? You look at him with the Mets, he went over during the midseason, he was outstanding, but once the playoffs start, especially the World Series, he kind of fell back a little bit. And even in September, he fell back a little bit with the Mets. That's a little red flag, especially somebody that wants over $100 million for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever he's looking for is a little bit too much. Now, teams are loving it now because now his market is starting to decrease a little bit because those 5 and 6 year deals, 7 year deals aren't out there for him. So teams like the Mets are going to wind up jumping back in it. You look at the Tigers, rumored, hey, well, we may want you back. Mm-hmm. Add a 1, 2, maybe a 3 year deal. I can't see him signing a 1 year deal. He's probably a 2 or 3 year deal at maybe a higher price, you know, and the Mets may wind up wanting to bring him back. I think teams are worried with him that, okay, if he does sign that 5, 6, 7 year deal, does he put it in cruise control and you don't get the Cespedes that you wanted to, that you originally signed, that he's not the, you know, the 20, 25 home run guy, and, you know, kind of puts it in cruise control until maybe his last couple years in the contract. I think teams are afraid of that.
I've heard some theories that, you know, let's say the Mets, for instance, you know, we all know how badly Mets fans want this guy back at Citi Field next year. I've heard some theories again that if the Mets go to him and say, okay, look, you're not getting the multi-year deal that you want, we're going to give you 1 year, $25 million. You're back on the open market a year from now. How appealing would that be to him?
Well, it's going to be more appealing once you start, you know, inching your way at the end of January and the beginning of February, and those deals aren't out there, and his agent's saying, hey, this is your best shot. You're going to go out on the market the following year. Prove yourself. You know, go to a team and prove that, you know, you can play 162 games, give it 100%. Don't go, you know, don't dog it every now and then. Don't put it in cruise control. Prove a team. The Mets wants you back. You were outstanding when you went there. You know, there was even MVP talks with this guy when you know, really turned the Mets offense around. And, you know, I think he would fit great. You know, he could play both corner outfield spots. He can play center field. He's a perfect fit. I would like to see him go back to the Mets. And you know, if the Mets do that, I think that'd be a great deal. That's something that he's really going to have to think about because there's those 5, 6, 7 year deals aren't out there for him.
They really aren't. And another guy that, you know, we talk about the shock that, you know, Cespedes and Upton generate that they don't have homes. Chris Davis, a guy that's led baseball in home runs 2 of the last 3 years. He's got power coming out of his pores, turned down reportedly, I believe, a 7 year, $150 million deal from Baltimore. What is your take on him? Is he going to be a first baseman? Is he going to be an outfielder? And where does he ultimately finally end up?
Well, I think he does go back to the Orioles. You know, it's almost a shame if he goes back and it's a lot less than 150 and you turn this down when the Orioles made that big offer to you. And I was a little surprised that he didn't take that offer. He's a first baseman. Everybody, you know, his agent's marketing him at, oh, you know, he can play the outfield. He has played the outfield before. I don't think teams are buying it.
It's a stretch.
It is a stretch. You're going to get power, but you know what? you know, once you go to the outfield position, it's a little bit more demanding than first base. First base is not, it's a tough position, but it's not as tough as the outfield. Maybe his offense starts decreasing. You know, the risk of injury as a corner outfielder is a lot more than a first baseman. I don't think teams see him as an outfielder. They see him as a first baseman. So in that sense, he's not a DH. You can't go to the, I mean, he is a DH, first baseman. You can't go to the National League and be a DH. Where are the opportunities at first base? You look at St. Louis. Maybe that's an opportunity. They're still there. They don't seem to be wanting to spend the money, even though they were going to go out and get Hayward. They target and put a figure on top players that they feel they want back, and I don't think Chris Davis is one of those guys they want to spend $150 million on. The best bet is the Orioles. You know, I think he goes back there only because that's where the money is and that's where the best fit is. I don't see him fitting in anywhere else because he is a first baseman and there's not many opportunities at first base around the league.
Yeah, and power is so scarce in baseball that when you have a guy out there like Chris Davis and, you know, you talk about, I don't know if baggage is the right word, but, you know, he's a guy that is streaky. He does strike out a lot. But, you know, again, 40-plus homers is 40-plus home runs and something's going to break here.
We don't want to sign this guy and watch him hit 35 home runs and hit 190. You don't want that. And he's done that before.
Yeah.
You know, he did that the year before in 2014. You know, he didn't have a great average year, and he was striking out almost every time he was getting up to bat. Mm-hmm. And then he turned it around his free agent year. You know, he has power anywhere. It doesn't matter what field he's going to play in. It doesn't matter what stadium. He can hit it out every part of every stadium around the league. It's just a matter of the money, and he's one-dimensional. He's a first baseman. In the American League, you can do both. You can DH him, and you can play him at first. He's not an outfielder.
Yeah, absolutely. And that puts the finishing touches on the quickest 21 minutes in sports. My thanks to Jeff Nelson for his contributions today. As this is Matt Wehmeyer signing off for the MLB.com Hot Stove Podcast. Join us again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.